message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us again today, and we trust that our Bible study together will be a real help and blessing to you as we're going to look in the Word of God about something that's very timely and important, especially in the minds of many people, as you consider what God is doing today and what God would have us to do. In Romans chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul makes a rather startling statement when he says, not only so, not only are we saved, not only have our sins been taken care of and the penalty of sin taken care of and the punishment of hell was borne by the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is the power of sin in the presence been broken and the life of Christ living through us, not only is the presence of sin been provided for its eradication in our life at the rapture when we get a glorified body, but also, he says, about right now, he says, do we have justification and sanctification and glorification because of who we are in Christ, but not only so, we glory in tribulation also. That is, we look at the trouble in our lives as believers differently than we did as unbelievers. The world says, why is there so much trouble in the world? And why do good people suffer? And why do problems happen in life? And the world is always asking itself, why is there so much heartache and trials? Why are our babies born deformed and people, you know, they don't grow mentally? And why is there so much difficulty and disadvantage and heartache and war and sorrow and calamities and so forth? And the world, in human viewpoint, seeks to blame all of that on God. Well, if you know anything about the Word of God, you know that's not true. The opposite is the truth. The reason that there's heartache and sorrow and suffering and difficulty in the world is sin. Don't you ever make any mistake about it. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25 says, Behold, your sin withholds good things from you. God Almighty is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and every benefit and blessing in life comes from Him as the creator and the provider of the universe. But sin distorts and corrupts and defiles God's creation. And my friend, the long and the short of it is, the reason there's war and heartache and bloodshed and difficulty and sorrow in the world today is because that when the Prince of Peace came, the world didn't want Him. They didn't want Him, His peace. They didn't want peace in the terms of righteousness. The world wants to go about and do its own thing, do its own way, have its own way at its own time, and fix its own problems, and you see the mess it's in because of it. The world hasn't taken advantage of God's remedy on the main, and the result is you see the mess going on around you today. But Paul, in the midst of all of that, says that, you know, for believers, for those who've trusted Christ and been placed into Him by faith in Him, for believers, we look at difficulty and trouble differently than we once did. Once, trouble and problems were looked upon as the wrath of God against sin. Now we look at them and we say, we rejoice. We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience. It becomes productive in our life. You see, we understand that the justice of God is free to deal with a believer today in a positive manner, because the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary has already been dealt with about all of our sins. You know, in the communion service, the Lord says, do this in remembrance of Me. The average communion service that you go to, you're told to remember your sins. I was raised in a church where every time you took the communion, it was in remembrance of your sins. You were supposed to confess your sins and acknowledge all your failures and be sorry for all of your sins and have all these things come upon you and weight you down because of your failure and your sin. And, you know, you confess it and get it all right and do all that kind of thing. Christ says, do this in remembrance of Me. You see, we don't remember our sins, we remember our Savior. God has already completely dealt with our sins when He dealt with our Savior at Calvary. That's what a Savior is. Somebody takes care of those things. So we have a position in Christ where things are different. Now, that verse when he says, rejoicing, glorying, rather, in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works, becomes productive in our life, that's quite a startling statement in light of many other passages in the Word of God where God says things like James chapter number 5. Look there with me at James chapter number 5, verse number 12. James 5, verse 12, he says, I'll begin at verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Is he sick? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Notice the issue of praying for the sick and the prayer of faith, saving the sick. That is, the sick man is made well. If he's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. They anoint him with oil. They pray over him, and the man is healed. And the many passages of Scripture in the Word of God, if you come back to Mark chapter number 16, in Mark 16, verse number 15, when the Lord Jesus Christ gives what many call the Great Commission, to his disciples, he says unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Many folks never read past Mark 16, 15. In fact, excuse me, just yesterday, I talked to a young man who's raised in a denominational church, in a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church, and he was sharing with me a testimony about how that he read this passage for many years and had heard it preached many times and had never really read the rest of the passage. Well, listen to it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. And they, the sick, shall recover. In other words, there is physical healing promised by the Lord Jesus Christ in His post-resurrection commission to those who believe the gospel that was being preached at the time. Now, the gospel, of course, was the gospel of the kingdom. And that program had to do with a healing ministry. Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, if you let His earthly ministry run from Matthew to John like that, Jesus Christ dies at the end of each one of those books, and then God raises him from the dead. He spends 40 days with the apostles before he ascends into heaven. At this point, he's telling them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and the gospel that they preach back here was the gospel of the kingdom. And you know that if you know anything about the gospel accounts, the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the gospel message that they preached, and going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom had to do with the Messiah coming back and saving the nation Israel and setting up their kingdom. There was a period of tribulation and wrath that was going to take place before the tribulation here, before the kingdom rather, and he's going to come back and save them, cast Satan in the bottomless pit and rule and reign in their midst for 1,000 years out here. And we call that the millennium because of the 1,000 years that begins that everlasting kingdom out over there. Jesus Christ back here in his post-resurrection ministry is telling his disciples to go out and preach the gospel in view of that kingdom out there. And one of the things they're to do is to heal the sick, because out here in that kingdom there's going to be a healing ministry and a healing program. If you come with me to Matthew chapter number 4, for example. Matthew chapter number 4. You see, there's an issue in your Bible about physical healing that you have to come to grips with, because the Bible certainly has a lot to say about it. And when you contrast that with the attitude that the Apostle Paul had in Romans chapter 5, you can get confused about that. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17. From that time, and that'll be the time back here in the earthly ministry of Christ when John the Baptist was cast in prison, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven out here is at hand. And verse 23 says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And notice, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. This ministry back here was a healing ministry. It was a ministry where he went about healing them in light of this kingdom over here, and in that kingdom they expected to be healed. Now that was what God had associated from time immemorial with the kingdom program. Come back with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus. Passage of scripture that if you listen to much radio or television, you'll hear this verse quoted every now and then. Most people don't even know where it comes from, but it's in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 26, and it's talking about Jehovah Rapha. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 26. God says to Israel through Moses, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I, the Lord, will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, I am Jehovah that healeth thee." In other words, back here in time past, when Moses back here is giving the law and the commandments to the nation Israel back here, when God established the nation Israel, brought them out of Egypt and separated them unto himself and cut the Gentiles off down here, when he did that, one of the promises that God gave to Israel back here through Moses was that if they kept the covenant and they kept the commandment and they kept the contract that God gave them, that then he would be the Lord God that healeth them. In other words, that he would not allow the physical infirmities to overtake that nation and destroy that nation as he did the Egyptians and the other nations of the earth, but that he would provide for them and would provide the health necessary for them to function as the ruling authorities in his kingdom. Exodus chapter 23, and this is over and over. It's one of the promises God gave to the nation Israel. Excuse me, Exodus 23, verse number, you can start anywhere in here. Verse number 25 is the verse. Exodus 23, 25, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." In other words, when Israel receives and comes to fruition over here, he says, "I'm going to take sickness away from you." It's a promise that they experienced from time to time back in here because it was the promise that God gave to the nation Israel. Israel had a right to expect physical healing from God because God Almighty had contracted with them and they with God to provide physical healing for that nation when that nation kept the covenant and the contract that was made between them and God. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Make it Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. It's very important for you to understand that the nation Israel made a covenant. There's a covenant with God back here in time past. They made a covenant with God. The covenant was the covenant of the law, the Mosaic covenant we call it. And they made that covenant and it said, if you keep the provisions of the covenant, then here's one of the blessings. And one of the blessings listed in the contract is the healing, the physical healing that would be provided. For example, Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse number 12. Deuteronomy 7, 12. Now folks, you need to read these verses and need to understand why these things are in the Bible. Because if you can understand why they're in the Bible, you'll understand why they aren't working today the way they are worked in the Bible. And you don't have to go back and try to twist the scripture around and make like it's working today. You can understand what it is, where it is, what it says, where it says it, and that it means what it says, where it says it, the way it says it. And you don't have to try to twist the Word of God to make it apply to something that you want it to apply to today in order to solve some dilemma in the integrity of God. Just to satisfy, you know, your desires. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. "Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you will hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, if you keep the contract that the Lord thy God will keep unto thee, the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee." Verse 15. "And the Lord will take away from thee all sicknesses, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." I mean, folks, there isn't any doubt about it when you read your Bible. God Almighty promised Israel, he contracted with Israel that if they kept the contract, they'd get the blessing of healing. One of the blessings in that contract was physical healing for the nation. Come with me to Isaiah. You know what happened with the nation Israel, Isaiah 33. Israel failed to keep the covenant. They failed to keep the contract. And so God Almighty told them that He would provide a new contract, a new covenant with them. And in that new covenant, He would do for them what they could not do for themselves. And so when Jesus Christ dies at Calvary, He establishes the new covenant there. In that new covenant, that is going to be the means whereby they will receive the blessing that they couldn't receive on their own. Christ will provide for them what they could not provide for themselves. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, speaking about this kingdom out here. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. All three branches of the government will be in the hands of Jehovah out there. You don't have to worry about trying to reclaim the government of the earth today. All the believers out there trying to, you know, in the politics and trying to reclaim and restructure the government. Listen, one day the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive branch of government will be in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until then, it's going to be in the hand of sinful men. When we say that we're premillennialists, that's as much a political statement as it is a doctrinal statement. That's saying that one day, and not until that day, the world will be in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, but until then, it's in the hands of sinful men. Now, when Christ comes and takes over the government and sets up His kingdom, verse 24 says, Isaiah 33:24, and the inhabitants of that kingdom out there shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Notice, they shall not say that I am sick. Hold your hand here and come with me to Jeremiah chapter number 30. Jeremiah 30 verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great, for there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble right here. But he shall be saved out of it into that kingdom. Verse 17. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health in this kingdom. There's a time of Jacob's trouble. Israel is saved out of it into the kingdom. And in that kingdom, I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. God Almighty says, in that kingdom, I'm going to heal the nation. Why? Because that's what He'd promised to do for them back here. He'd promised them. They couldn't do it themselves. So Christ come, provides a new covenant whereby He can bestow upon them the blessing that they couldn't earn on their own. And that's why in Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah looking toward that day of the coming, Isaiah's back here looking toward Christ's coming. He says in verse number 2, Isaiah 35:2, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and comfort the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. Second Advent, right there. Your God will come with a vengeance. Go back and find the place there. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He comes with vengeance to destroy the wicked and with a reward for the believers in that kingdom there. He will come and save you, Jacob's trouble, out of which he's saved. Then, when he comes back, destroys the wicked and brings the reward and saves Israel into her kingdom, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame leap as a hart and the tongue of the dumb speak, and so on and so forth. You know what you do? When you see the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear, you see those miracles of healing, you know what? You know God's come, because it takes God to come and do that for Israel. Come with me if you will. Back to Matthew chapter number 10. Look here, folks, when Jesus Christ showed up over here in His earthly ministry, what did He do? He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He caused the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk. Why? He did exactly what Isaiah 53 said would happen when God came. Why did He do that? Because He's God. He's God. And He came to demonstrate who He was. He came demonstrating that He had the blessings of that kingdom and offering them to Israel. Matthew chapter 10, When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. In the city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. You understand what he said? Go out and do the healing ministry and the other ministry there. But you notice that ministry is limited to the nation Israel. Folks, the reason you can't go back Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and take those healing promises and apply them to Gentile members of the body of Christ out here in the dispensation of grace, when the fall of Israel, is Holy Spirit comes down, Pentecost, fall of Israel takes place in here, and the body of Christ, of which you and I are a part of in here, this mystery program, the reason it doesn't fit, that these things back here won't work on us, is because the passage says that ministry and that message and that healing program was not to be preached and practiced among the Gentiles. Go not into the way of the Gentile. Any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of house of Israel. And as they go, there to be healing. Folks, they weren't to go heal Gentiles. They were to go heal Israel. Why? Because that's who the promise was made to. That's who it belonged to. That's why in Mark 16, Christ sends them out to heal, because it's part of that kingdom program. That's why in Acts chapter 3, when that man sitting at the gate sees Peter and John, he asks an alms of them, and they say, silver and gold have I none. They're not like the TV preachers today, you know. Silver and gold have I none, but such as give I unto thee. Why didn't they have silver and gold? Because Christ told them there, freely you've received, freely give, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Jesus Christ told them not to carry money. That means they weren't out taking up collections. Now, if you see something else going on today, well, then you just know it's different from what God said. It isn't what God said to do, don't you? Right. You know why that man got up and was healed? Because that was the program. Now, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All along through here, Peter goes out and his shadow, and the overpassing of his shadow heals people. But when you come to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ reaches down, saves a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the Apostle. When you come to the ministry of Paul, all that changes. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7, Paul talks about having a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. He's got a physical infirmity. He says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He made a major prayer campaign to ask God to heal him. And God said, Christ said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what he said? He said, no, I'm not going to heal you. I got something better than healing you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. You need to settle something in your mind. If being sick today is an indication of God being angry at you, or you living a life of unbelief, then Paul must have been a wicked, unbelieving man. Because Paul said, I glory in my sicknesses. I glory in my infirmities. You know what an infirmity is? That's something you have at the infirmary. That's down at the hospital. That's a sickness. It's a sickness in his flesh. You know what he said over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4? He said, Trophimus, if I left at Miletum, sick. Paul started out with the apostolic signs of an apostle, wound up, couldn't heal anybody. Couldn't heal himself, couldn't heal his companion and buddy in the work. You know what he did in 1 Timothy 5:23? He told Timothy, Timothy, use a little wine for thy stomach, thine oft infirmities. You know what he does? He prescribes medicine. He didn't say drink wine. It wasn't just wine, remember. It's use it for medicine. Colossians chapter 4 says that at the end, Luke, the beloved physician, is with me. You know how Paul ended up his ministry? He ended up his ministry prescribing medicine and keeping a doctor on hand. You know why? Because the healing program wasn't in effect anymore. You understand, folks? God is doing something different now. You know what he said over there in Romans 5? He said, tribulation works patience. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, he says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. God's postponed that kingdom program. He's postponed the healing program in order for the dispensation of grace to be extended out here. And as long as the dispensation of grace, that parenthetical period in the prophetic program, is there, then the healing program is held off and doesn't come in yet. You know what Paul said? He said, it's been given to you on the behalf of Jesus Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name. You know the forgotten gift. People are always talking about the gifts today. You know the forgotten gift is that gift that has been given to you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. May I say to you in God's Word today, from God's Word, rightly divided, that the program of grace today, the way the Spirit of God is demonstrated, the way the power of God today is demonstrated, is not through the healing, miracles, and deliverance program that God gave the nation Israel. God has set the nation Israel and her program aside, and the healing program has been postponed and has been replaced by something far greater. Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that He strengthens you with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know what that is? When God withdrew the healing program, He replaced it with something far greater. He replaced it with an issue where the Spirit of God is manifested today in our weaknesses. And the demonstration of His power is in the inner man, and it's unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Not deliverance and healing campaigns, but the ability to endure. You know what the sufferings do? They become a blessing because they drive us closer to Him. They make us strong in the inner man. They allow us to practice the position and the identity that we have in Christ. You need to understand who God's made you in Christ. Don't try to be somebody He hadn't made you. You only learn that by studying the Word of God, folks. The clarity and the truth of God's Word rightly divided will set you free from the doubts and the fears of your flesh. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Does God Want You Well? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 235. That's tape offer number 235. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad to be with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rather divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we next time for another Message of Grace.